When we heard the lesson from Hebrews, we heard that classic roll call of faith, or at least we heard parts of it. In their infinite wisdom, we don't hear all of it for length of service, for whatever reason, but it's the story of all those Old Testament figures who set out on a journey called by God, not knowing what the destination would be. And we hear specifically about Abraham in that context. And it says that, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it talks about how Abraham set out on this journey. He knew not where he was going. And it says, by faith he stayed for a time in the land had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for something. He was looking for something, but before that, come on in, guys. Before that, he had to go where God asked him to go. He left the comfort of his homeland, where he had been for so long, where life was comfortable. That's right. Bye, guys. Hey, Dylan. Sorry, when you worship with the Richardsons, this is what you get. Some beautiful noise from children. But think about Abraham. He had to leave this place of great comfort, a place where he had been for so long, and he was called to go to a new place, but he knew not where he was going. He didn't know the destination. He's called out in faith to do that. And he's looking for something. He's looking for a city that has foundations, one whose architect is God. Now think about that. He's called to go somewhere, but he doesn't know where he's going. And he's not looking for a map or a road. He's looking for a city that has foundations, whose architect is God. In some ways, it doesn't make sense. He's trying to get somewhere, but God just calls him to go, not knowing what the destination is, and to look for the kingdom of God, because that is what God is going to give to his people. I can't imagine that a more important lesson for us to hear in our time, a people called to begin a journey not knowing what the destination is. We are in rapidly changing times. I say it not to disturb, but sometimes it does. But we're in an age we've never seen before, what we call the post-Christian era, even in America. That doesn't mean that God's not upon his throne. It doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not Lord. It doesn't mean that faith is waning, but the strength of the church is. And we see it everywhere. There's been this breakdown of what people call Christendom, or this great hegemony in terms of the sense that the church is meant to be a part of everything that we do. It's not even accepted all that much among believers any longer. And so we see churches getting smaller and smaller, and we could be deceived if we didn't ponder what was really going on, because there are other churches that are growing, some of them growing rapidly, but often they're just drawing people out of other churches. It's for a season. They're not reaching that many people who are unbelieving and who become believers and are called to be baptized. We are living in a post-Christian era. The church is nearly dead in Europe. And there's really no reason, apart from the power of God, to renew the faith of those who are followers of Jesus, to believe that the outcome will be any different here. But that doesn't mean that God's not upon his throne. Doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not Lord. Doesn't mean that we're not called to be faithful. What it means is we're called to go wherever he goes, setting aside expectations. It's the conviction of things not seen. Perhaps we haven't seen church as he's going to do church in our lifetime. Perhaps it's going to be places of worship where neighbors come together, bound by their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, not bound to a denomination, not bound to a building, not bound to a place, but bound to an obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. People who are looking for a city that has foundations, the architect of that city is God. It's about people living purpose-filled lives to the glory of God. Now, I say all that because I think that there's something new on the horizon, and I hope we are choosing by faith to enter into it. We don't know the destination. We haven't been given a map. We are on a journey, but we don't know where we're going. But that doesn't mean the destination's not good. Doesn't mean the destination's not sure and sound. It's there, but God's not calling us to look for a map, but to live purpose-filled lives, to look for a city that He Himself has constructed. Perhaps it's not going to be visual. Perhaps it's not going to be geographical. Perhaps it's truly going to be a body of people gathered because of the faith the Holy Spirit has put in them. So how would we get to this place if we aren't to look for a map? Well, could it be that in the gospel lesson, Jesus gave us a sense of where it is that we're supposed to go? It's not a matter of finding the kingdom, it's a matter of living into it. Because He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." It's not elusive. It's not something that we can't enter into. We may not be able to find it or designate it on a map, but it doesn't mean that we can't live it and be blessed by it and play our part in it so that it blesses other people. And so perhaps it's not as much as moving towards it as just entering into this thing that He's left us. And He gives us some clues on how to do that. He says, "Sell your possessions and give alms." Sell your possessions and give alms. What He says is to invest in the kingdom of God. Now, we live in a culture that's trying to teach us just the opposite, to invest in everything that we can own. I talked about this last week. What's the dictum in the U.S.? He who dies with the most toys wins. That's the world in which I was brought up, and it's hard to resist. I own that myself. It is hard to resist. I'm a happy camper when I'm living in Bolivia. I'm a happy camper when I'm doing mission work in the U.S., I mean in Rwanda. But when I come back to the States, it's so easy to get caught up in the rat race. Who's keeping up with the Joneses? What kind of car do we have? It's such a deceptive thing. But it's the culture in which we live if we want to be honest about it. It's inviting us to invest in something that is fleeting. Because ultimately, all of it will be gone. Everything that we buy, every stitch of clothing on any of us in here will one day end up on a dump, a heap of trash. I think it was Lee Strobel who one time took his daughter out. He was trying to explain the meaning of material wealth and how it was fleeting. And he took his daughter out to a dump and just drove up and looked at this dump. And he said, "You know, everything you own," and they began to name her dolls and the toys, the things that she had, "will one day end up here." And he didn't say it to terrify her. He did it to teach her this valuable lesson that there are things that are more important than things that we possess, because all of them end up on the trash heap of history. And so if we want to be a part of this city, this kingdom that God is pleased to give us, we have to make sure that possessions are not something that get in the way of us enjoying it and being blessed by it and participating in it. And that's where we're being called, to invest in the kingdom. Now, sometimes we get this passage backwards. We say, "Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." But that's not what the passage says. It says, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Sometimes God asks us to act our way into right thinking. And so He's not changing our hearts as much as He's saying invest, and your heart will follow where you put your money. Often I counsel folks in pre-marriage, and they're anticipating a life together, and we talk about children, and they will say, "Well, you know, one day when we can afford it, we'll have children." I think what they really mean is our hearts aren't in it. But eventually they have children, and you have to invest in children. I mean, they're the diapers, the pack and play, the crib, all those things that come. And suddenly your heart is there, you're ready for children because you've invested in them because God has blessed you with them. Sometimes we have to act our way into right thinking, just invest in the kingdom. And does that mean giving to a local church? Absolutely, but well beyond that. It means Christians living their lives in a way where they look out and see a need and say, I'm going to meet that need for someone. Because I'm a Christian. I'm living in the kingdom. And I have the ability to do that. And I'm not going to let possessions be what guides my life. I'm going to give away those things. I'm going to gladly give alms so that people who are less fortunate might enjoy life. So to enter into this kingdom, we have to invest. But we also have to prepare. And we also have to keep watch. He says, prepare. Keep the wicks trimmed, if you will. We've heard that in another parable, haven't we? About the lamps being filled and the wicks being trimmed so that the lamp will be useful when the king comes or the master comes in the middle of the night. Now, there are things that we can do to prepare our hearts and minds. We can distract ourselves with the things of this world, or we can enter into a way of life that encourages us in our relationship with God. Because if we're out pursuing some idol that is not meant to be a part of our lives, how are we going to be ready when He comes? And whatever that idol might be, often it's things that we even value as a nation. Bobby and Nan will be put out with me for saying this, but sometimes even education can be an idol. Like we're just living to get to here, we're going to earn these grades, and then we're going to go to this school so I can say I have a degree from. And education is valuable and it is good, but it can be an idol. It can be a distraction along the way of what it is that we're really meant to pursue. And so what we really want to pursue is this life that will prepare us. And we can go back again to the teachings of Jesus. What would prepare us well for this life that God wants us to have? Pray. Fast. Give alms. That's what we hear Him say in the Sermon on the Mount. Simple things. Disciplines. So often we think of the kingdom as something that we have to find or the church as something that we have to go to when it's really more about practices. And those practices prepare us for what God has in store for us. Fasting, praying, giving alms, the things that honor God. And then finally, we have to keep watch. We have to be vigilant. Because we don't know the day nor the hour that He comes. And so it's not just enough to prepare ourselves, we also want to be vigilant that we don't miss Him when He comes. There's a great series, some of you may have read it years ago, the parables, the Joshua series. And it's all about Jesus coming back in the modern day. And you know what? The same thing happens. People don't recognize Him for who He is. Some people do. How are you? Come in. Some people recognize Him for who He is, but not everyone. And so, we want to remember that He's coming. And we want to be prepared for that in our hearts and minds so we don't miss it. We don't miss out on the blessing. We don't miss the kingdom when it's sitting and standing right in front of us. So what have I said today? I think that Hebrews has called us into this place of being reminded that we're called to go not knowing the destination. We can't pinpoint it on a map, but we're still meant to go. And what we're going to find is a city created by God. He Himself is the architect of it. But how do we get there? We enter in. We don't have to find it. We don't have to search for it. We just enter into it by investing in the kingdom. We enter into it by preparing, entering that way of life that's going to prepare us for a relationship with God. Perhaps as simple as praying and fasting and giving alms. There are other aspects to it, but it's a disciplined life. It's more about practices than going somewhere. It's more about what we do daily than about what we do on Sunday. And then finally, we have to be prepared. We have to keep watch. We have to be vigilant so that we don't miss the King and the kingdom when He comes. Because He's here. So often we put it off and we think about what the future is going to hold and what heaven's going to look like. God intends, and we've heard it in this passage, it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We can enjoy the kingdom now. It's not just out there on the horizon. It's something that we can enter into right now and be blessed by it and through us, other people drawn into it. Yes, there's a part of it that we haven't realized yet. But there's a part of it we're realizing right now. We get a foretaste of it even as we take Holy Communion. Even as we do as He instructs us to remember His body broken, His blood poured out. So let us be mindful of that. It's not so much a destination as practices. It's not something that we have to pinpoint on the map. It's the kingdom. And God Himself is the architect of it. And it's ours to have and to have now. Not by finding it, but just by entering in. It's His good pleasure to give it to us. Amen.